Hello and welcome to part two of CN season three recap. We were talking about Sky when I broke off last. There really isn't a whole lot more that I can say about Sky for this season. She really starts to come into her own in season four, and I don't know how much David actually touched on it in his commentary, but I know that with her, we really got to see, you know, a greater sense of personality, and we didn't just drop her back into the council of, you know, being accepted and loved by people, because she essentially become a murderer. She does a lot of things in season three that, you know, are serious offenses. And now when you look at the rest of our characters too, a lot of them are murderers. I mean, let's be honest. Giles, Faith, Willow, you know, they've all killed people. Rowena kills someone actually at the top of season one in Warzones, and we learn in season four when we get to Unspoken, it's not the first time that she's ever had to kill someone. So lots of death. There's lots of death and destruction. Excuse me. Particularly in this year. But we also see too, when we talked, I said, you know, like the overall theme that we had was kind of the growing pains. One character, too, was Caden, or Caden, again, however you want to pronounce it. She really has a lot of things that she goes through this season. She has to deal with being put on trial for crimes that she's committed against this werewolf family. She gets her birthright as a Van Helsing, which kind of ends up being more of a curse than a blessing, where she essentially kind of merges with the demon aspect of the world, and she gets kind of smurfy. she turns kind of blue, and she turns really, really feral, and just not anybody you want to tangle with at that point. So she has her issues and things that her and Kennedy have to work through with one another. We also have Kennedy kind of questioning her heritage in an episode, No Mercy, which actually was an arc that we had several, this Gregor character who claims to be the uncle of Kennedy. And essentially he's trying to free his daughter. So he kidnaps Willow and Faith kind of as an offering, and to free his own daughter. So rather than you know, just picking anybody to sacrifice, he does go after somebody who has been a murderer, somebody who, you know, deserves it. You know, short of that is that somebody that isn't you know, Snow White. They're not pure by any stretch. So in the end, of course, Willow and Faith are saved, but there's a lot of things about as in this season regarding growth and an examination of events, of where you've been, where you're going, how to get there. And in the course of season three, too, we also see that with Rowena as the head of the Watchers division and Willow as the head of the Coven, there's just too much tension there for them to maintain a relationship. And in the episode 5923, which Dan wrote, it's kind of our 24 episode where we show this event happening over the course of a night where they have to save the city of Cleveland. And as I mentioned in my season two commentary, this is where the Black Ops squad kind of really comes to a head, where they end up attacking an office, and Willow is kind of left to pick up the pieces there, and she just realizes that, you know, since Rowena was in favor of sending out these Black Ops, that, you know, she really holds Rowena accountable for that, and you know, realizes that it's not going to work. And that's when I mentioned Skin Deep, that, you know, we get into the fact that they can't work that closely together and maintain a relationship. So there comes a point where Rowena decides, you know, which is more important, being the watcher that she's always been her whole life, you know, leading the entire council, or, you know, giving that up to, in order to be with the woman she loves. Excuse me. And she decides that love is more important than, you know, any amount of money or power. And, you know, she wants to build that life with Willow, but she just can't do it being somebody that's going to be at odds with her. So, you know, eventually they do end up, you know, making their amends and getting back together. But again, that's one of the things over this season where you look at growth, that they really had, you know, they're at a crossroads point where either they grow closer together or they grow closer apart. And, you know, for this relationship, this is one that I wanted to see Willow have somebody that she really does love and admire, and that she wants to be with. Because, you know, if you look at Buffy, you look at Watchers, she really, we gave her a tough go. She really had a, you know, a long road to walk. So, that's one of the things that was really important for me this season, is to, you know, kind of pull them apart, but then bring them back together stronger than before. And we did the same thing, actually, with Kadeen and Kennedy, too, where we show that, yes, although she does have a good match in Kadeen, Kennedy still has, you know, her issues with the type of person that Kadeen is. You know, and how do you balance that? How do you make it work? And that's one of the things that we showed, but, you know, we do it in kind of like a fantasy kind of way, so that, you know, it's keeps that Watcherverse feeling alive to it. This is also the same year we learned that Becca is pregnant again, but we don't find out until the very end, when she announces that, you know, she's like 6.5 months along, because they haven't seen Giles too much since he's retired this year. But she eventually ends up going into labor and having the baby prematurely, and Giles is faced with a situation where the doctor asks him, you know, again, it's, you know, those choices in life, you know, who do we save? You know, if it comes down to it, do we save your wife or do we save your child? And, you know, he has to, at that point, make a decision which is more important to him. And that's really a very difficult question, I think, for anybody. But he makes the choice automatically that he wants to save Becca, if it comes down to it. And again, that can open up a whole can of worms with, you know, the debate about, you know, abortion and fetus rights, and, you know, but in my way of thinking, this is, you know, Giles is looking at it from a perspective of, I can maybe have more children with this woman, but if this woman is gone, then I can't. You know, this woman is more important than anything else. And again, like I said, it's that growth process, it's that learning, you know, and moving into a new direction of becoming a grown-up. And a lot of that will transfer from this year into the next season as well. But I know that another episode, too, that I wanted to mention this year was, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, it's Volcom's Pendulum. And it's the episode that Drew wrote. And when he pitched this story, we were all kind of, huh? Yeah, this is from the you know, doctor guy who lives in Hawaii, okay? He's got this idea of, you know, physics and time travel, and, you know, this is how this works. If something else different happens, here's how it affects this reality, and, you know, here's how I'm going to put it all together. And so essentially I said, I don't understand exactly what you mean. Because, you know, like Josh, I don't know from science. But put it together and then show it to us. And it actually worked. It actually made sense when he wrote it. I understood it. I know there were some There were some of our fans that didn't quite get it, but I did, at least get it that, when they find Vi at the beginning, who's actually Vi, who's actually dead, there's this like loop that happens through time. So when they find at the very end, when they find the other person at the end, then that's when they real they or they don't personally realize, but hopefully the reader does, is that it was the other Slayer that leapt through, and that's why they found the different person and not Vi. So Vi's life was actually saved as a result of her actions, of kind of getting this heads up of what would happen before, and also by someone else changing the event and interceding so that she didn't come through to do what she would have done before. So it really was a very layered, odd episode, and it hinted at the fact that maybe Rowena and Kennedy had a child at some point. But really, it was a fun episode to do. And in the end, it didn't make total sense. So, hats off to Drew for a nice standalone episode that boggles the mind, but also makes perfect sense in the end. This is also the season two that we had Faith kind of meet her alter self in a different reality. Faith 730 wrote The Night in Question, which actually follows up immediately after Kennedy's and Faith's fight in an alley. And that was also very well done, because then she had a way of getting a hold of her demons and kind of dealing with everything that happened and realizing that she really can't run away from her problems, and that she has grown up from the little girl that knew the mayor. So that also was a strong episode. And then there was the Secret Life of DJ Trace, which again was one of these quirky, kind of goofy, kind of silly episodes that there are just so many different things. I know but we managed to keep the same thread of Wagner and this mystery woman who ends up being Archangel Gabrielle, because it was really a typo. It's not Gabriel, it's Gabrielle. Where they're in this bar and they're kind of chatting, and Gabrielle has this drink that has all these ornamental things in it that, more than even God himself could probably create. And I just, I like that mental image, so I kind of tossed that in there in the bar scene that he had, where I think they came in dressed in the Matrix outfits, if I'm not mistaken. But it was just this, kind of wacky silliness before we got into all the deep, dark things that go on into the finale, which actually goes to Orbel's, was just the episode that Rob wrote, and where Giles finds this Watcher's knowledge in this cave, and he got to bring back Wes like he wanted to. He got to kind of give Giles a chance to stand center stage in an episode that he really hadn't been able to do that year. This is also the first season too that we brought Buffy back. After year of listening to, when are you going to bring Buffy back? When are you going to bring Buffy back? Can't you bring Buffy back? People stopped asking. And that's actually one of the reasons why I decided, okay, let's bring Buffy back in. Because now people have let go of the concept that Buffy is the leader. And I think the timing was perfect for it, because then we were able to reintroduce Buffy as taking over for Rowena. And I think we managed, actually, to do rather well with being able to mislead people into thinking that Giles was coming back. So when Rowena makes the call to somebody and says, "Hey, can you come be the watcher? Because I want to get Willow back," I think people really thought that it was Giles. Some people kind of guessed that maybe it might be Buffy, but the majority really thought that she was asking for Giles back. But what I'll do is I'll stop now, because I'm sure I'm getting pretty long here, and I will get into the final two episodes of season three in the next part.